Antônio ex vis commander più.
36 Jesuífi commander que.
Thank you. and harmony.
August 28th, 7:21 p.m. Center Camp. There's a huge drum circle going on, and I just wanted to get some of it down on tape if possible. I'm going to assume this thing is going. I'm now walking across the middle of things, I guess you'd say. Middle of the desert, like in the middle of the city. The empty area in the middle that the city surrounds and that the man will be instructed on. It's been a good afternoon. I see where I'm going. Let's look for the Emerald City tent. It's been a good afternoon. I didn't nap. I was up early. I haven't eaten in a while. But it's all good. It's all completely good. I feel like I'd like the trip tonight, but, you know, I need my bike repaired. And, that's the way to get around, and I know that. Anyway, that's just bitching. Whatever. It'll all work out. I just have to make a little bit of effort toward it, and it'll be fine. What to say? Well, I wrote more poetry. The second last poem I wrote was for a girl named Zephyr that I met for about maybe an hour with her friends. And, she was a sweetie. We're talking about poetry and mountains. It's funny that I've been talking to my friend Renee about the kind of girl that attracts me, and Renee and Holly left to go somewhere, and just got on the phone and sat down like 5 minutes later. And I wish I could have said, Renee, this is the kind, this is her. This is who I mean. Fresh, wise, funny, curious, cute. I wasn't overwhelmed by her because I met her kind of girl before, and I just know they exist. I know they exist in large numbers. So, I feel like I'm sighing. The sky up above is beautiful. Monday, and I don't know, it seems to me like Burning Man has already started. I mean, I guess psychologically it began starting for me Friday night when I arrived, but it seems like there's more action than there was last year. I could be wrong, I don't know, but that's what it seems like. It seems like there's no hesitation to start this year. It's just like people arrive even before the starting time and just start building shit, and some of it is built, and then it starts right in. I guess now, once I get back to camp, I'm going to socialize for a while. I'm hoping my bike will get fixed tomorrow. I'm hoping maybe the template will be up, because Wednesday is my target date for putting up my bookstore. It's funny that I was in writing mode today and now I'm not in talking mode. It's hard to adjust amongst the various ones, but it's good. I'm so completely converted to West Coast culture, it's ridiculous. It's been a process of years. The old school bus with the funky old 50s music coming out of it or whatever. It's amazing what is happening here. I'm not tripped right now. I didn't trip last night. I'm just amazed. It's just wonderful. And this is day one. It's Monday. So it's great. I have to go to the West Coast. I have to find a way. Too powerful, man, too powerful. You need a bigger pot, my friend Lyra said yesterday morning after listening to me talk about things. And Burning Man is a bigger pot. Burning Man doesn't run all year round, but it does. It just doesn't run all year round. Black Rock City. I've got to find a way to move out here. It shouldn't be that hard. Overall, people do it. I'm gonna do it. It's time. I think I became somewhat timid or dubious about it for a while there, but I don't think I can be anymore. I've been 8 years in Boston. It's a wonderful city. New England's wonderful. It'll always be part of me, but I can't stay. I can't stay. No way can I stay. I have to know that I'm going, just like I had to know I was leaving Connecticut. I have to know I'm leaving Boston, and twice I've been told San Francisco. And San Francisco daunts me because it's expensive, and it's kind of mecca, in so many ways. And it's a city. As much as anything else, it's a city still. But I have to find a way. And I'm thinking San Francisco. Though I'm not limiting you to that. This girl at Totem Holly was talking about her hometown, Portland, Oregon, and praising it. And then Renee lives in Seattle, and she praised that. So I have three principal cities I'm thinking about, and then the random possibilities of other things. So, I don't know. It'll all work out. It'll all be good. Nice horns! What's that? Right on, right on. I'm moving to the West Coast. I need to set this tape on and on for a while. Sounds are burning, man. Sounds my yak.
Hi.
Is there a bicycle across the road here?
You want to go down?
Point. Circle. Well, this is 9 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we're at 9.
And is that like the circle of camp there? Okay. Thanks. I suppose not every person you meet hit it off with, because I've learned that lesson before. It's almost too dark. Oh, cool. The man is up, finally. Here's the thing, Tara said that I eventually figure out there's nothing wrong with me, that I'm doing the right thing and going in the right direction and all is well. Well, I just had a moment like that for some weird reason. I'm here. I couldn't think of a place I'd rather be. Almost all the time, but especially this week. And
this isn't bicycle repair camp, is it?
No, I don't think so. This is oriented repair.
Cool.
I'm not part of it.
Oh.
But they're lending bikes.
Really?
But people bring them back. Yeah.
Really? Who do I talk to?
I don't know, this guy, I guess.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey.
You lending bikes?
I had one, but it got damaged on the way up here, and so it's not functioning.
No. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we are.
Cool.
You know.
I've been wanting to try it for now. I rode around last year.
Yeah, if you're responsible, we're definitely in.
I'm totally responsible. I love bicycles.
I'm sure.
My name's Ray.
My name's Robert.
Good to meet him. So, what ones could I conceivably borrow?
I don't know. I don't know whether the affinities are like, you know.
Are there any off limits, is what I'm saying?
See, that's the thing I don't know. Oh, there's Andy. That's Andy.
Okay.
He knows all about this.
Okay.
Okay, then.
Hi.
Hi.
I was, someone said that you guys might be lending bicycles.
No.
Not?
No.
Okay. Not right. I was just informed.
Yeah, you were.
Do you know where bicycle repair camp is? It's supposed to be around here somewhere. I have a bike, but the tire's jammed.
Yeah, it's around here somewhere. I think it's in that one of those books or something.
Right. But you haven't seen it?
No.
No.
We do some repair, but what's wrong with it?
I have a replacement tire and it needs a new tube.
New tube?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might be able to fix it, I don't know. What kind of tube?
It's a 26 inch bike?
Yeah.
Might be able to fix it?
Maybe, yeah.
Should I maybe bring it by tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, see, we'll see what we can do. So just need a new tube is all.
Yeah, I bought a tire.
Right.
Yeah, I figured that'd be good.
Huh?
We're letting people borrow bikes?
We're not.
We're not?
Well, I mean, we let them borrow them, but not, you know, it's for our camp and for our friends and for people around.
What? We don't lend bikes out for the duration for, you know.
No.
No. Well, that's what people want to do. They're like, we didn't bring a bike and we need a bike. And I'm like, well, sorry, we don't have bikes to lend out like that.
I just want to fix mine.
Yeah, we can fix
it. I made the effort to bring it.
We can fix the bike.
Yeah.
We can fix your bike.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
It's better than lending you a bike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I figured. And someone went into town and got me.
We have some tires. We have some tubes, I mean.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and we have pumps and we have tools and everything.
Cool. Well, maybe I'll come by tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm down at Totem, which is not that far
from here. Yeah, right. Yeah, bring it over. We'll try to get you back, you know, get you on the road.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You guys rock. Have a good night.
Functioning bike by tomorrow. That's really, really good news. That means I'll have Tuesday to Saturday to ride it. Alright, I think that's enough for now. More later. We'll be right back.
X-Wiz Commander Q.
36
8:57 p.m. I'm in my tent. Need a nap. Didn't sleep all that much last night, and I didn't take a nap today, which I really should have. Because now I'm droopy with lack of sleep. Renee said she'd sleep with me if that's what I wanted, and she knows that's not what I want. And that's good. I guess it's a compliment of sorts. I never seem to go for the people who actually want me. Tempted? No, not really. Just sad. Structure is partially up. I watch a beep that tells me it's 9 o'clock. I want acid. I want good acid. I want a trip. I want a trip hard. I Why be sorry? Why be regretful? Why be dog-faced? It's tiredness. It's not lack of confidence. Droopiness can be physical, you know? That's how much money I have. I want to know if I can buy two things fast. $97. $97, which I'm fairly certain will buy me at least one, possibly two, things of acid. I'm going to buy as much as $197 will buy. Maybe I'll buy as much as $180 will buy. But I'm going to buy in quantity. I'm going to do 10 hits tonight. I'm such a fucking freak that I think only being out west would really help me. Neo didn't know that I was moving out west. Isn't that funny? Alright, I'm going to copy up my poem. I'm alright, I'm gonna be acid, it's gonna be alright. It's 2:12 AM. I guess now it's August 29th, 2000. And I'm walking across the playa. And it's not cold in the least. I mean, this is about as cold as it's gonna get. And it's just not that cold. It's completely mild. I'm within like maybe a couple hundred feet of the man who looks wonderful. And is the, well, he's named after the event or the event's named after him. I don't really know which. But it was a weird night, a lot of socializing. I hung around with Renee and Sean and Chuck and Neil, and there was dinner and there was stonage and I don't know, some people got mad at each other. And I just kind of like, I tried to be kind and I tried to put in kind vibes, but you know, I just don't want to deal with it, frankly. I mean, I put in kind vibes for sure, without a doubt. I did not shirk, but just can't I don't know which temple I want to go to. I don't know what that is. So I'm walking toward the clearing of again. This is gonna run out pretty soon. Have to deal with that. I was stoned earlier, that was neat. Oh, there are fire dancers right near the man. Jesus. This place is so incredible. It's most incredible at night, which I've said often before. And I just want to go deeper into it. There's no need to sleep. City does not sleep. This city does not sleep. So I'm walking to the Green Pyramid, which I think is the location of the opera. I don't know if I want to be involved in that. last Tuesday. Let me get my bike fixed finally. That'll be cool. And I guess reading at the Central Cafe will be cool. Possibly reading at a different place to get a Burning Man necklace. Which, if I get one, I will wear it all the time. Without a doubt. I'm not who I was last year. This event is not what it was last year. Similar, but not the same. Take a piss again. I wonder if, I wonder if it's possible far enough away from things to take a piss. I really want to take a piss. But I kind of enjoyed pissing on the playa. I think I'm just gonna loosen shit up and go for it.
This is called The Millennial Artist Survival Guide. There is a secret joy amongst these times, a within's within, a known and speckled spectral thing, an exploding blare and soup from between our dreams, a series of coded midnight shadows, glyphs taught with our best laughter, all cosmos, we are all cosmos, without and within, we are all cosmos, we are all careening. We need to begin now. Trade into ecstasy. We are beginning now. Always beginning now. Begin now. Tell the truth. How fear so often drops the artist in flight. Begin now. Tell the truth. There is more to this cool night than a spasm chased, a spasm caught, uncapped and hard, caught and had. Tell the truth. Begin now. Our lives are thin and dry, yet still we're ready to rise. Our best thoughts scattered angels, ready to collect and make new gods, new art. But how to rise, how to make, thin and dry, the ground tracked with dull diamonds, yesterdays, the air full of dead dawns, dreams, gods beyond the next galaxy, flowing no one's tears, learn to steer. Gods buried in pointed buildings and fading volumes diminish no one's fears. Days the undirected ships and dreams revelations of continuous crashings. Shut out the lights, smile, undress, crash again. Morning again. Secret joy amongst these times, within's within. Is your art necessary? Study today secretly from a distance 1,000 miles up or 1,000 miles far. What are you to the lesser gestures of breeze? What is your art to that hillside coven of oaks or that grove of ravens? Bury your pen, become a fountain of blank sheets. Empty, evaluate. Another day, pink-cheeked and whispering, laughter inside fat rays of light. All is sunlight today, do you follow? Secret joy, within's within. Follow your sun. Today it's all yours. When does today begin? Can it ever possibly end? Follow your sun. It's always been there. Become a blank sheet covered in fountains. Blow ever higher. Trust. We are all cosmos. We are careening. Okay, tell of secret joys. Sing of within's within. More drums, more dancers, more bonfires. We're all masters of knowing now. We all can fly. A kiss, a tab, a cold and sweet blue dusk. The how is irrelevant. Practice undifferentiation. Watch us name molecules. Watch us paint with supernovas. Recognize God equals art equals I equals art equals God equals I. Time will stop. Time will go. Just watch. A kiss, a tab, a cold and sweet blue dusk. A full moon, handfuls of stars, roused spirits, a long sky-tending tree, leafless, several scattered through the autumn winds. Ready? No? Go. Go into the flow. It's past midnight now. Time for seeking vampires and scribbling zombies. A whole town of them. Go. Go into the flow. Two kisses, two tabs, long-legged blue dust, cold and sweet, draped over midnight, brick buildings full of gunshots. Welcome to Zombie Town. Let's not stay, for here we can only do this, not that. Preach apologies for the night. It's vampires and scribbling zombies. But really, are we doing all we can? Listen to me. I'm in giggling pieces by now. Are you doing all you can? Listen to me. I preach to occasional dogs and flayed mathematicians. Listen to me. Are you doing all you can? The wind is rising higher. Don't you want to ride it anymore? Who are you? Are you the eyes of the world? I mean, who are you? Ready? No? Who are you? There's little left here but lights and purple fruit. I'll help you by leaving. I'll teach you how to evanesce. I'll recount my greatest times of laughter, the nights when I danced and died. But I'll leave in one way or another. I am time itself. I exist until you no longer need me. Something's about to happen. A net cast into black waters is caught and dragged down. Something's about to happen. A jagged formation of jets passes over a rousing herd of buffalo. Something's about to happen. Beyond the book's talkings and the blinking boxes of diminutive noise, something's about to happen. The anxious buzzings passing from our dreams to our limbs. Secret joy, within's within, spectral illuminations available everywhere. Beware, be aware. Lunch counters, swinging dives, graveyards where vampires meet and breed, where zombies chuckle and scribble. Beware and be aware. Your flood isn't receding, is it? You're not diminishing. The anxious buzzing is your music. Song beyond songs, beyond words and notes. Become a virgin again. Reinvent.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
I didn't realize that I'd run out of tape. The Woodstock audio filled up much of that side one, and I just prattled on for the rest. I could go to the Burger King and, you know, work there for a long stretch, go to Barnes & Noble. That'd be nice. I could stay more local and do a kind of variation of what I did yesterday, which is I go to Capital Lunch, and then I go to People's Donut Shop, and then I go to McDonald's, or possibly Subway next door to it, if I want to get food, you know, that's not fast food, since if I'm going to Capital Lunch, that should be that for, you know, the day. But, like, what I need to do is I need to focus on the work. I feel like I'm a, you know, skipping needle here. It's like, I'm happy to be here, and I like being in all these old familiar places, as the song goes, I think. But I need to do the work. I have to figure out many musics I would like to write on in bags, and since I wrote a whole issue yesterday at the donut shop, and that kind of momentum can really rev up if I, you know, get to it. I'd like to continue along the labyrinthine, since I'm here, and the passage I'm writing is about remembering some things, and it's about me in the story remembering some things, because I'm in a remembering some things kind of prime place. And I brought Jim's book, my friend Jim's book, dear friend Jim Burke III, book of letters I've been working on essentially since he passed in 2011, and it's now actually in a printed rough draft form. It's not done, but it's closer than it's ever been in the now 11 years I've been working on it. And I have sampler, Scriptor Press Sampler 20 for 2018, which is also in draft form and pretty close to done. So I have these varieties of things that I want to address, and like what it comes down to, wherever I'm seated, is that I'm seated and focused, and the hours pass as I work. I've also been reading Sherlock Holmes. I've jumped from studying Scarlet, which I finished, to The Sign of Four. And so, you know, like, all that. And there's a pleasure in being in these familiar places and knowing I'm not here that often and I haven't been here in a while. I think I'm feeling good enough again about coming down here to maybe resume coming down again in the fall if the pandemic hasn't suddenly come back. This is a nice return trip. I don't have to go to all my places in one return trip. I can take a rain check and trust that I will come back again, and the places I didn't go to this time, I will go to next time. I never go to all of them in one trip anyway. There's just not enough time. It's probably too much anyway. I can really take in so much, process so much of old and mix it with new in one go. So I think that Capital Lunch, because I was really looking forward to that, and I don't know, I mean, maybe I just do what I did yesterday, but include the extra item. I mean, I'd like to go to those other places, but, like, I've got to focus. I've got to focus. I could change my mind as I'm walking out there in the world, which hopefully will be sooner than later, but I think I'll start a Capital Lunch and take it from there. The day is mine. I have money in my pocket. I will have my my two bags well packed for near or far travel. If I end up on a bus, I'll get a bus. It's real simple. All of this is very familiar. It's easy, and as long as I keep focused on the fact that I'm here right, primarily, then I think it'll be okay. So, that was a lot of talking for something that doesn't seem like it merited all that much talking, but I was just trying to think it through aloud, and I suppose thinking it through aloud on this voice journal is, I mean, I guess it's better than me sitting here talking aloud to an empty room. Doing this makes it feel like it's part of a project. And that feels better to me somehow. So, this is the last blank tape I brought, and maybe I'll find more along the way. I don't know if they're really so easily findable these days, so I may have to just accept that this will be full and that'll be good, but it's not full yet, and if I stop now, there's still some more of it left to fill at other moments before the trip's all said and done. So, I'm going to stop here. More later.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, well, I hope this ends up sounding okay. I can always post-production speed up or slow it down if you need. That's annoying, but it'll be done. It's Monday, March 7th, 2023. Monday, March 7th, 2022 at 6:59 a.m. Red Roof Inn, room 120. Right in bed. Well, I'm up early, far earlier than I usually am on the morning of departure from one of these trips to New Britain. But honestly, I went to bed early last night. I the best part of the day was at the People's Donut Shop. I worked on Mini Music's notes for, it seemed like, several hours solid. I sat there with my notebook and read and read and read and made notes. And I think that I made some headway toward ferreting out the subtle details that might go into the new poems. Then they went over to McDonald's and they ate, and they read Sherlock Holmes, and I tired like the previous night, strangely, and I walked back here and I read more Sherlock Holmes, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep with the lights on. I fell asleep in this bed, not the one that they call the sleeping bed, which is fine, whatever. Eventually I managed to reach left and right to the lights on either side of me. And slept. There were noises in the night, voices, television, random sounds that came and went. And I guess I just needed to sleep. I can't think of anything else to say about it. It's just like when I was pushing hard at my mini music notes, that's where I was at. And when I was here, I was tired. I was tired, and I mean, it could be there's no writing table, it could be there's no armchair. You know, I let those be part of this trip. I could have changed rooms, I chose not to, that's fine. I finally, I kept kind of waking up toward 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock a.m. And finally, toward 6, I felt full. I felt like I was sufficiently slept. And it was good. It was good. And I'm sitting here drinking water out of a plastic cup because I've drunk soda all weekend and junk. I ate junk, McDonald's, mostly. And so now I have a plan to do everything I can possibly fit in the next 12 hours or so. This is how I think it's going to go. I'm going to indulge myself, work here. I'm not going to move, because once I leave this bed, once I leave this room, I'm essentially on the move for many hours. Some of it I'm sitting, like on the bus to Hartford, and then on the bus to Boston, but I'm essentially on the move, in the public, hauling my stuff. You know, I'll be a verb from the point of moment I leave the room on. Pardon, I'm adjusting my phone. So given that I'm up early, because I went to bed early, I'm going to indulge myself sitting here in this bed, and I'm going to do various of things on my list. Let me tell you what my list is. I don't know who's listening to this. I don't know if anybody will ever listen to this. It'll be on the radio, I'm assuming, which is a nice thought. So it's kind of like, I'm not doing this to entertain. I'm doing this because I want to do it. I like doing it. And there's a possibility that there might be someone at some point who's listening to this in an entirely different context from where it's being recorded. I'm in a hotel room in New Britain, Connecticut on an early March morning. Late winter. I'm alone, and my things are still scattered, for the most part, on the other bed. My two jackets. I have a plaid sort of sweater jacket and a big winter kind of coat and boots. They're over hung up near the door, except for the boots. And I still have some stuff in the bathroom because I'm going to take myself a shower before it's all said and done. And so this is me in, I'm very, you know, alone in this moment, even though I know there's some or a lot of people in the building I'm in, which is really funny, because in the house I live in, it's me and Cassie, there's no other people, when we used to live in apartments together, and when I lived in an apartment by myself, several of them, there were noises, there were sounds, there was music. But in our house, the only noises are usually the ones we make when we're talking or playing music or doing stuff that makes noise. So that's different from this, which is also different from where anybody listening to this might be. I have a strange relationship with listeners and readers. Let me indulge in a moment. I'm going to check how this sounds. Honestly, it sounds fine. So, I don't seek really to entertain anybody. I don't seek out approval, is what I would say. My work. I like sharing it. It's interesting to hear what people think of it, but I'm not looking to be told how to do it. I'm not saying that that is. Oops. Hold on. Many pens, but I didn't want to randomly lose one because they're valuable. They're costly, but they're more valuable than costly. They're far more valuable than costly. I was writing long before much anybody knew I was writing. I mean, when I was a kid, I wrote, and first major thing I wrote, well, I guess the first major thing I wrote was my journal. That's the first thing I started that I kept. I still keep it all these years later. Another early important thing to me that I wrote was I wrote a novel, which was kind of a inspired by the Hardy Boys adventures, mystery adventures. I'm not saying it was very good at all. I don't think it was. And yet, you know, it was important to me at the time. And I was like 10 or 11, so it was a big deal. And I still have it. I should read it on the radio sometime. That would be funny. I tried writing a sequel that didn't work. I should read that too. I've decided none of my work is out of bounds for reading or publishing or anything, as long as I understand in the larger sense of my work. I mean, the first thing I wrote is not going to be terribly well written, but I'm okay with that. I was learning. You have to start somewhere. So yeah, so journal and a Hardy Boys inspired novel. I think it was called John and Philip. I even remember the title. But then I started a newspaper. A newspaper about an imaginary football, youth football league. Connecticut Football League. And the newspaper was called Sports Page. And the whole thing was inspired by Oscar Madison on the TV show The Odd Couple, who was a sports writer, and I thought that would be the most awesome thing in the world to be, to write about sports. I loved sports when I was a kid. I watched everything on TV that there was to watch. I watched all four major sports in the United States, then and now, I guess, to a certain degree, baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. I also watched programs on Sunday about auto racing and golfing and skiing, gymnastics, skating. I mean, I was a great fan of sports, and I still like them. I don't watch most of the major sports anymore, except for football. But I had a newspaper. I created a whole world. And I mean, I just did it. There was a friend I had who would see me write out these one-page or two-page issues of statistics about this imaginary football league, and he became inspired for a while. And he did a hockey one for, I don't know, a little while, which was fun. I mean, it was neat to have someone else doing something similar, but I did it because I liked it. And I think that that's always been the truth about writing. I like writing. I enjoy it. And I am really dubious about turning it into product, turning it into something that's subject to people telling you whether it's good or not. I mean, I don't care. I have a sense of my own art, and I know that sometimes it's really good. I know that sometimes it's not, because nobody's on their mark. Every word, every line. But, like, what arrives to the cynical, it's good work. I'm not saying otherwise. I work hard to make it work that I consider good work, and I don't need to be told. I'm not waiting for someone else to affirm that it's good work. It's good work, and if others like it, I'm grateful. But I'm not dependent. I think that's maybe what I'm looking for, groping for here. It's like, I think some people write or create art, and they're dependent on others to affirm its worth. And that's never been part of my perceptual makeup of art for me. I can't tell someone else how to do theirs, but I can't use my art as some kind of way to, like, gain self-value in other people's eyes in the world, because that just would be, to put it really dumbly, it would be icky. Because I learned early on that there's never a consensus. There's never a consensus. There's never, you make a piece of art, everybody likes it. Usually, people like it on a sliding scale. Some love, some like, some eh. So that gives you no guideposts. That gives you no guideposts. Even if you wanted to do that, it gives you no guideposts. I mean, it's like, do you then lean upon those who like it and lean upon them and kind of avoid the others who are eh? Or, as many people do, they worry about the eh people and try to shift and shift and shift until the eh people are not. And it's like, well, they may be not, eventually they may not be. Or you may end up writing things they like that you don't like. I'm not in any of that. It's very pervasive, and I'm not any of that, and I respond to what I like in other people's art, of course, that's natural, but I expect and hope that the ones who make the best art know that they're doing something special and focus on that. Don't focus on reaction. Don't focus on feedback. Focus on whether you are doing your work in the best way you can.
you're bringing all your lights to bear. Your artistic talent and inspiration, your craft, luck. That's what I think is primary. I think the act of making art is primary. What happens later is secondary. But how you feel, how it is, how you experience making art in the moment, that's what matters. And again, this is an opinion, but it's mine. It's the opinion I hold, so it's what I'm expressing. I'm not saying it's the only opinion that can be held, because it's not. I'm not saying it's the only right opinion, I should say, because many hold different opinions, and I validate them in the sense that I got mine, you got yours. I don't know how in the world I got into this jag now thinking about it. I had some good stretches here when I was writing, and I felt good. I felt like I was doing what I do and the way I do it. I felt like myself. There's a feeling I get. I don't know if feeling's the right word, but it's almost like a state I get into. But feeling's not the worst word. Maybe it's a feeling state. I don't know. Where I know I'm doing the work the way I need, want, and desire to do it. I get to a state, and then I'm in that state for a while. It's really nice. And it's really like I hadn't been here in 2.5 years, so it was really, I'm just sort of evaluating this as it's concluding, because I mean, if all systems go at 5-10 today or so, I'm going to be on a bus away from Hartford up to Massachusetts, up to Boston, and I'm not going to be back for a while. I kind of think I'd like to come back in the fall and resume my fall trips here, but one never knows. One never knows. I didn't know in October, November, whatever it was, of 2019, that I wouldn't be back for 2.5 years. So one doesn't know. But what I can know, or what I can think about, evaluate, is how this trip was. And maybe in the context of other trips I've taken here. It was intense in weird ways that were mostly in my head, but not quite. I mean, I mentioned numerous times my 40-minute late bus and the hotel scam, reservation scam, that even preceded me getting on that bus, and then coming here to the lack of furniture, and then people wearing masks and others not wearing masks. And then just the build up in my mind of this trip. Like, I was talking about it on this voice journal. I was writing notes and notes in my notebook. I mean, I was building this trip up in my mind. I was looking forward to it. I had high expectations, and I think overall it was all right. I maybe I always expect that I'm going to do more on these trips than I do, and yet if I look at what I actually accomplished, it was all right. I mean, I haven't been alone. Here's a thing that's unusual about this trip, is that I haven't been alone for 2.5 years. I've been alone for like a short set of hours the rare few times Cassie has gone to work. But I was in my house, and it was like, you know, 6-7 hours. This was an entire trip to another place by myself, and staying in a place, staying in a hotel by myself, and getting myself here, and then getting myself back, and all the interactions along the way where it's just me traveling solo. It's different traveling solo than traveling with a companion, especially female companion. When a man travels with a female companion, he looks a little more civilized. He looks a little more, I don't know. And it's just an opinion of mine. It's just like, it's not something that is true for all, but I've always felt that when I'm by myself, because I'm tall and I have long hair, and I dress kind of raggedy a little bit when I'm traveling on my own. I don't really dress up fancy. I've always felt that I come across a little intimidating. I mean, I'm tall. I'm 6'3 or whatever. And it's a tall and imposing package I present. But when I'm with Cassie, who's a nice-looking girl, she has a nice face, and she doesn't dress like me. She dresses sort of more coherently and nicely. When I'm with her, I look maybe safer or more defined or something. If I'm with her, then she's validating me. Then if she's safe to be with me, then I must be safe to be near, even if I'm not engaged. It's a hard thing to even, like, describe. But when I travel alone, I get the feeling that I'm always having to compensate for people's potential discomfort with me. Like, they're being intimidated, even though I don't say or do anything intimidating ever to anybody. So I haven't been in that kind of situation for a long stretch. I mean, it's been a long stretch of time in which I have not been, for a length of time, in that situation. Also not down here, which was my element. I lived near here for 6 years, but I left that home 30 years ago. Funny how anniversaries keep coming up with different things. I'm going to check this tape again to see how much and the quality and all that. It's fine. I have about 20 minutes left. I may try to not fill every last minute, but maybe I will. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's best to finish it here. And then just don't think about it. Know that I have more blank tapes at home, and I'll resume it back up there. Yeah, I haven't been down here in a while, and yet, so I lived in a town next door from 1977 on, so that's going back 45 years, was when my family first moved to a town next door to this one, Newington. I probably started coming here in high school around 1981, so that's 19 and 22, 41 years ago, right? And then I started going to school here, college, in 82. I moved here in 85. And I lived with one roommate. It was a real piece of work. POS, as they say, piece of shit. That's what he was. I lived with him for most of a year, and then I got lucky enough to have a roommate that I knew slightly from college, and I lived with him for 6 years. David Allen Wright. Nerd supreme, old school nerd, not like sexy 21st century Avenger nerd. He was just an old school Star Trek nerd. But the sweetest guy you'd ever want to know. Sweet, charming smile, kind, funny, a good guy. A good guy down to his bones. I think well of him, honest to goodness. Yeah, so I lived here from 85 to 92. And then I moved up to Boston, but I was always coming back down. From 92 to 2001, I came back down from Boston at least 8 times a year for the Jellicoe Literary Guild meetings, which were in New Britain, this town. Roma Restaurant, which is, I don't know, a couple miles from here. And then I went out west, and then when I came back, I was living with my friend Jerry Dillon in another town next door, Plainville, for a year. So again, I was next door. And it wasn't until I finally left for the West Coast to be there, 2004, and it stuck. 2004, 2010, 6 years in which I was not around here at all. I came back in 2010. I still came down to Connecticut once in a while then. Jim died, and I don't think I came down as much, frankly, for a while. Then my mother died, and I had no place to stay to come down to her funeral. There was no one to put me up. I had no friends left who had any interest in me. So that's when I put up in this hotel. That was what I had for an option. You know, that was it. You know, I just selected this hotel at random. It wasn't Red Roof Inn. It was La Quinta Inn before that. I don't know. It was probably something else before that. I think it was. But one of those iterations was the first time I stayed here. And that's when I started coming down on an annual basis until 2019. Pandemic, here I'm back. That's the story. I've told it now probably several times. But my point is that from, I guess, 82 to 2004, which is 22 years, I was either living in New Britain or near New Britain or coming down to visit New Britain and hereabouts. My friends lived here some of those years, Jellicoe Guild years. So I'd stay with them in apartments in Britain. That's 22 years of being around the city. And so it is just intimately familiar to me. It's probably more intimately familiar to me than almost any other place. I mean, really, there's not many other places I know as well. And I do not admit to knowing all of it. There's neighborhoods I've never been to. There's areas that I don't know at all, but what I know well. And so, not having been there 2.5 years, coming back and feeling weird and out of place and self-conscious and all this other stuff, it's a strange feeling for me to feel. It's something that has thrown me. And I've adjusted bit by bit over the course of the weekend. Nobody's caused me any trouble. Nobody's accosted me or got in my face or anything. I mean, nobody's actually talked to me except for very defined reasons. Usually transactions. You know, I buy something and I interact briefly with a person taking my money. That's it. There hasn't been hardly nothing else. And I've greeted the hotel people a few times, especially when my key card isn't working. They seem to have to activate it every night. That's it. There's been no other interactions. I haven't had any conversations with anybody. Yes, occasionally I had one who come down there. Someone would see me writing somewhere and say, what am I writing? And, give them some very cursory summary of what I'm writing. But not even that much, which is fine. But I felt tense. I felt tense and coiled. And uncertain. And it's weird because it's all the same moves. Get on the Greyhound down here. Get on the bus from Harvard to New Britain. Get the hotel room. Unpack. Go out to the familiar places and write. I mean, I didn't even, quite honestly, I didn't even really leave this little area of the downtown I've been in. I haven't even gone back into Hartford since I arrived. I haven't gone out to the West Farmers Mall area that I speculated on, or to my old school. I mean, I pretty much stuck within a mile radius at the most, maybe 2 miles. You know, that's where I've been since Friday night. So, it's not like I've been hither and yon. I've been very close and familiar. I've been to the McDonald's 3 times. I've been to Dunkin' Donuts 2 times. In fact, really, I've only been to a few places. I went into the grocery store once. I went to the library once. I went to the Dunkin' Donuts 2 times and the McDonald's 3 times. And I've been in this room. And that's it. It's been as simple as it could possibly be. And yet still coiled and ill at ease and unfamiliar. And so, So, anyway, all of that. Oh, I was going to read my list. Let's check one more time on the much tape is left. Since I'm going to go with this right to the end. Hold on. It is winding down, so I better read this list quick to get me cut off. This is from my notebook. Work today. Here to South Station, Boston. Dream Journal, Voice Journal Classic, that's this, Dream Journal's already done, Burning Man Books, Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, Radio, Dream Wraps, Sampler 20, Proofread, Write Bags and News, Write Labyrinthine, Write Many Musics, Creature Tale Secret Book, I have notes to catch up, Hero's Adventure, notes to catch up, or at least to review, Jim Burke, the third book, I just want to take a look at it, journal, I'm going to write, and those are the things I'm going to do, or those are the things I've started doing, because I've already started doing this. This is like the second of that bunch, and it's 7:33, I've decided I'm since checkout's at 10, excuse me, 11, at 10, I'm going to stop doing stuff here. I'm going to shower, dress, pack, and be on my way. Become the verb. So it's been quite a trip. And I guess... Hold on. Resume. It's been quite a trip. And as this will become part of 36X, I think it'll be... whole episode, 2 episodes of it, which is really kind of funny. Reminds me of the ones of my Chicago trip back in 2000. Funny to be doing that kind of thing again, but I decided I really wanted to, and so here it is. I'm glad I came, and I'm grateful New Britain's here, Harford's here, they're still making their way through, and I hope that next time I come down, things will be even less pandemic-y than they are now.
You know, nobody has to wear a mask or even worry about it. And I'm looking forward to getting back to Boston, which, honestly, is my more familiar stomping grounds. I've now lived there since 92, on and off, so left here 30 years ago, going back to the place where I've lived on and off for 30 years, just like I was around New Britain for many years, like crisscrossed. But I'll be back, that's for sure. I'll be back. I'll want more. I just know it. End of it. I have a minute left. I'm just sitting here staring at this and it wasn't finishing. So I'm going to read Sherlock Holmes now for a while. I'm going to write my journal. I'm going to resume working on many musics. I'm going to try and get on a roll that I'm not going to stop. I'm going to try to write back to Melrose with a smile on my face and a happy greeting for Cassie, who's had a nice relaxing weekend, she told me. She read and crocheted and puttered about doing this, that, and the other thing, as she, I think, does every time I come down here, because this trip is for me one thing, and it's for her another thing. It gives her a whole weekend to herself, which is good, because I think I tend to tire her out with all the things I want to do on the weekend. I want to stay up late, watch movies, trip. I bring a lot to the table, and she's always game for it. But give her a weekend off, and a nice chance to rejuvenate. She certainly deserves it. There are so many noises in the night. Sleeping, passed out, voices, music, just all around. And it's funny how they got louder and then they were silent. It's like people are coming and going, waking and sleeping. I don't really know. It's just really weird to experience it all. I still haven't found the Sherlock Holmes story or stories I want to publish in the Burning Man's books, but it's fun to read them. I've now read his first two novellas, and I've read several of the stories. I'm just sort of making my way through, and the funny thing is the volume I'm reading was a gift because I was the English major of the year back in 1986 at my college here in New Britain. He gave me a $200 check and a volume of Sherlock Holmes.
36 X with Commander Pugh.
36 jesus e fica mendaque.